Aboriginal children under the age of 14 are up to 8 times more likely to take their own life than their non-Aboriginal peers. And for young Aboriginal people between the ages of 15 and 35, suicide is the leading cause of death. The rates of Aboriginal suicide are beyond alarming. And many Aboriginal people crying out for help believe they are met with a chronic official indifference to their plight. So what can be done to raise awareness of these tragic statistics? And what can we all do to try and bring about positive change? Welcome to the Notre Dame Podcast, a deep dive into the research, thought leadership, and stories that come from the University of Notre Dame, Australia. My name is Brian Gibbs, and today's episode takes a look into the tragic trend of Aboriginal youth suicide, and an amazing woman using her platform to bring light to the subject. Please note that today's episode does include discussions of suicide, self-harm, and mental health. Information on these topics can be found in the description for this episode.
Spending on Indigenous Australia has recently topped $25 billion a year. Yet in some Aboriginal communities, there's a profound sense of despair. It's reflected in a suicide rate that's reaching epidemic proportions. In Western Australia's Kimberley region, 35 people have taken their own lives since January last year.
We know that Indigenous communities experience disproportionate and unacceptable rates of youth suicide, and we also know that these rates have been increasing over the past 30 years. At present, suicide rates among young Indigenous males are approximately 3 times higher than that in the non-Indigenous population, and the suicide rates experienced by young Indigenous women are approximately 5 times that of non-Indigenous young women.
I should have thought this through. I didn't want you all to hurt. Now everyone's in pain and I'm lying in the dirt. People are asking, why did he do it? Only I know where it began. Now it is over. Gone too young.
It's week 12 at Notre Dame, and for a group of first-year education students, it's presentation day. I'm sitting in on the class today. The students chat as they lay out paper, branches, paint, string, and all manner of other materials. I'm here because of Tash McAlpine. She quietly sets up her own presentation, and I watch as her classmates compliment her artwork, an incredible purple and blue dot painting. I don't want to disturb the class too much, so I wait for a good time to walk around and see what each of the students has made.
It's just about sea creatures and their habitats, really.
Cool. And what they made out of?
This is salt dough, and these are like stockings and stuffing inside for the, like, you know, paper towel. There's paper towel on it. This is wood underneath, and just rocks and shells, and the salt dough again that I made.
Awesome.
So, and honky nuts and stuff.
So that's going to teach all the kids about the different animals?
About animals, about their habitats, about sustainability with the, like, recycled materials and how to make salt dough and stuff.
Well, mine's basically about nature and bringing it indoors. So a lot of it's to do with the cross-curricular priorities of Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures. So I've incorporated some children's literature, which sort of integrates it and lets the children know how their connection to nature is so special, and it's sort of like a symbiotic relationship. So it really just encourages the kids to use natural materials, recycled materials, and in that way sort of helps their sensory development alongside sort of intercultural understanding. It's sort of mathematical as well, because they're creating patterns and sounds as well. So it's supposed to do with, like, sort of different sensory things that the weather can create, I guess. So sound, colour, patterns, things like that.
A little bit about what your opinion was when Tasha told everyone that she was going for Miss Australia.
Yeah, well, I thought it was really, really cool. She's really well spoken, and her artwork's amazing. Like, none of us, I think, really knew how talented she was until she brought it in. And then we're all just, like, super in awe of her work and her colours and the way she explained it, and sort of the theory and the message behind it was really beautiful as well. And yeah, it's just something cool because you don't necessarily hear about Miss Australia much either. So yeah, it's nice to have someone to come in and talk to you about it and really make you understand it a bit more.
And what about the cause that she's going to suicide?
Amazing. I think it's a really, really massive issue that no one really talks about. And it's beautiful to have someone from the community who actually understands like the detriment of that sort of issue to come in and talk to us about it, because like obviously we're kind of closeted here, and obviously we don't, a lot of us are pretty much from the metro area, so we don't understand those issues, but yeah, I think she's amazing. She really talks about it in a really like touching and personal way, which is yeah, just really amazing, I think.
Yeah, it's a very sensitive issue, but I think it should be talked about a lot more, and you know, there's a lot of like programs and companies that, you know, provide, you know, suicide awareness and do fundings and do charity events and all that stuff. So it's, for me, just coming out of like an Aboriginal community and experiencing, you know, suicide in my family. And so it's, yeah, important, so.
This is Tasha McAlpine. We step away from the class to have a chat.
So I'm originally from Beagle Bay community. It's a small community with a population of about 400 people. It's not a lot in the community. Like there's a school, you know, there's a shop, there's a bakery, there's a church, there's an office, but that's about it. And so, I just thought once I graduated from school, I did high school in Darwin and then went back to Beagle Bay and landed a job in the school. So I was an Aboriginal teacher's assistant for 4 years. And while I was doing my Cert 3 in education support, the principal and my supervisor said, oh, I think you should further your studies and, you know, become a professional teacher. And I was like, oh, I'm not too sure, you know. Been out of school for 4 years, haven't written an essay in 4 years. And I just thought I wasn't, I thought I wasn't good enough for university, like coming from, you know, a very small community, but I guess I like challenges. So to leave home and come in the city, it wasn't new to me because being in Darwin, but just being in the, you know, in a city that's, you know, and coming to a university that's, you know, holds very high standards and brings out amazing teachers, and there was something that I had to, you know, really think about. Was this the right, you know, journey for me to go ahead? But with the support, with my like friends and family, I decided to come to Notre Dame, still here. So I started in 2013, and then I did the first 2 years, and then I took 2 years off, just for personal reasons, and then got pregnant, got married, and decided to come back and finish it off. Because it wasn't, you know, couldn't just waste 2 years at university and not come back and finish. So I have to finish. I need to finish. It's something that I, you know, would like to go back home and, you know, be a teacher there and just give back to the community and, you know, give back to the children and, you know, be that role model for them. Say, you know, it's okay to leave home. Home will always be here. And go out to the big world. You know, there's lots of opportunities out in the big world, but a lot of young people are too scared to leave. Like they don't, yeah, they have that, you know, I don't think I'm good enough mindset. So I'm hoping to change that. So, yeah. Yeah.
So Miss Australia.
Yes.
How did you get involved in Miss Australia?
So I've been asked a few years ago if I should join. My sister-in-law, she did the pageant a few years ago, and she was, you know, urging me like, Tasha, you need to do this. I'm like, oh, I'm not too sure. You know, it wasn't in my, you know, my comfort zone. I wasn't comfortable with, you know, being on TV and having interviews with lots of people looking at you and all this stuff. So gotten used to that with the experience that I have already. But it was not until last year. She asked me again, like, you're going to do Miss Australia? And I was like, oh, hell. I'm like, yep, okay, I'll do it. And then she was like, because she's one of the producers of Miss Australia with the Behind the Sesh. And so, yeah, I thought I'd give it a try. Loving the experience. You know, it's an emotional roller coaster. You know, you have different emotions. You know, you laugh, you cry, you know, you get angry, you get, you know, all sorts of emotion goes through the process of, you know, with the filming and the reason behind it. And yeah, my reason is, talking about youth suicide in the Kimberley, which is, if the Kimberley was its own country, it would have the highest rate of suicide in the whole world. So it's, I'm trying to break that, not find a solution, but try to find more ways of preventing suicide. And yeah, it's just important for me, like, as a mum, you know, you don't want to, me being a mum, you know, it's not, parents shouldn't be burying their children. So yeah, I just want to, you know, break that cycle and try and, you know, be that voice for young people.
So yeah. You say, you corrected yourself there, you said you don't want to find, not necessarily a solution, but it's about breaking the cycle and, you know, having prevention to it. Do you think that there is a solution, or do you think that it is more about just that, breaking that ongoing?
That's a hard question to like answer, because I think there are ways to, you know, prevent it, but trying to find a solution, it's really hard because, you know, you have a lot of families that have been brought up in trauma. So trauma, you know, it just, you know, blends in the younger generation, so the younger ones. So just, that's a hard one.
It's a hard question. Yeah. I wasn't expecting any answer because, I mean, you can look it up online, you can ask anybody, and nobody really has a solution to it.
No, yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think the best thing that we can do and you can do, what do you think that we can do to help the issue?
So, for myself personally, I have a vision and a mission to, once I finish my degree here, I would like to go back home and, you know, teach there for a few years, and then eventually in time, I would like to open up a retreat for young children all around the Kimberley, and just to have, you know, a place that they can come where that's, you know, social media's out, you know, just being on country, going fishing, you know, sharing stories, doing art, doing music. So that's my vision, and trying to, I guess, prevent it, and like just having kids come there and just be kids, because a lot of children back in the community, they have, you know, big responsibilities because of many factors of, you know, there's a lot of like alcohol abuse, drug abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse, and so I want to create this retreat so kids can just be kids and they can have fun, and it'll be a supportive environment where they can feel free to share, and there's no judgment. Because everyone will be different. Everyone has their own stories and upbringings, and just something that, and it will happen. So, looking forward to that. I guess people of power, they can. I think they should help with lots of communities. Just bringing in the right resources and the appropriate resources. I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, government bodies come into the community, they bring a resource out and said, oh, this can help your community, this is how it works, this is what you do, but then they leave it and they don't come back. So I think that having, you know, professionals, having people, you know, of power coming into the community, seeing the communities, talking to the people, educating them, and having local people, I guess, be the ones that use that resource in an appropriate way for Aboriginal people to understand, and, you know, you can, it'll be like, you know, job opportunities for local people because there aren't many job opportunities in communities. So that's why a lot of people, you know, move out or, you know, just go to the mines and just do fly in, fly out. So yeah, it'd be, yeah, just having that, yeah, resources where, you know, mums, dads, uncles, aunties can be the voice for younger people with, and yeah, because I believe that, you know, if people give us the right resources and educate us properly, then we can deliver it to our community and, yeah, young people will understand because having local people educate them will, you know, get them to understand better and know what's happening and why. But, yeah.
Today we were presenting our art projects and the students had to plan for a five-year-old classroom. They had to base their decisions on children's literature, bring in the literature and base their art project on some of the concepts within that that children's literature.
This is Sharon Law Davis, a senior lecturer within the School of Education in Fremantle.
So they spent some time preparing their art project. They had to create curriculum links so that it was integrated into all learning areas. So it wasn't just a one-off art lesson, it was something that would go on for an extended period of time. So we're aiming for children to have deep and broad learning. So I think they did a really good job. I'm really proud of them. And they're only first years. So I think our future is looking bright because these are going to be our teachers in the future. And they know what young children need. They need to have those creative thinking skills so that they can problem solve and look to the future of the 21st century skills.
What was your reaction when you first found out about Mrs. Australia?
I thought, oh my gosh, she's an amazing woman. I've taught Tasha before and she was very quiet and shy, but she was such a beautiful, respectful girl. And when she told me she was in Mrs. Australia, and I thought, well, she's a beautiful lady. And I said, well, how do you do that, Tash? You are a mother, a wife, and a student, and she has managed to do something that's going to make a difference to her community. And when she told me about the statistics of youth suicide being the highest in the world, I was outraged. Why didn't I know that? Why don't other Australians know that? I'm ashamed. And I think her quest to bring it out, to tell the world about this and to make a difference is so important. Very, very proud of her. And I'm really inspired by her because I'm talking to my peers. Why can't we get more students like Tash? You know, why can't we give them some grants to come here and become teachers to go back and teach their community? And I don't know what the answer is, but I'm thinking about it, and that we're talking about it and getting it out there, I think is a beginning. Really don't know a lot about it, but I know that it's personal to Tash. It's part of her community. I think she's quite distressed about it, but she's got up and she's doing something about it. And the fact that she's talked about it in our class, she presented her own artwork, she talked about her community and what she was doing. I think it really inspired the other students too, to really bring those issues or the Aboriginal culture into their project. So what I saw was students were starting to bring in Indigenous art into their project. And as you saw too, there was quite a lot of reference to Indigenous art and collecting natural products from the environment. And I think that came from Tasha's presentation, that it's so important for us to make sure that the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander priority that's in our curriculum is forefront in our minds.
So how have you incorporated what Tasha's been doing and her presence in the class into your teaching?
Well, I just dob her in, quite frankly. I said, Tash, how do I do this? And I've learned so much because I've learned that I cannot talk about Aboriginal art unless I'm Aboriginal. So I can talk about the elements and I can talk about the techniques, but Aboriginal art is about their story and I don't have the story. So I have had to rely on Tash to tell the story. And so she said, also she doesn't know the story, but she brought in her artwork and she said, this is my story. So I learnt something about that. And the students learnt that we have to be very respectful of using Aboriginal art in our classrooms. I think these young teachers, these are our first year teachers, are really getting a great education here at the university. That's our priority, is to make sure that they know about justice and how we can make a difference to the world. And we really need to start here in Australia. In our curriculum, we have the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders as a cross-curriculum priority. So that's made very explicit to our students, and when they are planning any learning area, they need to prioritise that area, as well as Asia and sustainability. So some really good issues, but we have a model here in Tasha who is leading the way, and I want more like her. I want her to. I want some more from her community to come and share their experience, because it's actually by learning their story and talking to Aboriginal people that we really can connect and understand their life. I don't think taking people away from their community is the answer. I think the answer is taking what they need to the community. So our education system might not suit them. So I think we need to think outside the box, and I think we need to be in conversation with the people it's going to involve. So I think we need to start off with knowing these statistics and then starting the conversation with people who it's going to affect and the decision makers. Let's do something different because it's not working.
Do you remember any of the statistics off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
Did you know that 95% of Aboriginal Australians will be affected by suicide at some point in their lives?
I did not know that. I'm horrified by that. We need to know about it, because I think Australians would be outraged, as I am. And why aren't we doing anything about it?
Why do you think we don't know about it?
I think it's about suicide. I think that's generally we don't know about it. It's something that's not discussed or not reported on. But I think it needs to be... I'm not a psychologist, so I think having an expert in the field would be really important that they're in the conversation as well. We need to have research into the thinking of people who have lost hope, and why is there such hopelessness in those communities? Why would that be so?
And from your perspective, how do you think that education and creating good educators can help?
I think education is the key. I think when you have a sense of purpose in your life, you will always have hope. I also teach religious education here at this university, so I am. I have this vision for all Australians to be able to thrive in such a beautiful country that has so many riches, and just that injustice of Aboriginal people and their. That rate of suicide, I think, is not acceptable. And if I can do something at this university to change the intake of Aboriginal students from up north so that they come here, get some training, and then they go back to their community, because I think it's important for them to be role models for their community.
Tasha's episode of Behind the Sash, the programme that looks into the Mrs. Australia competition, is still available on Channel 10 Play. For more information on Tasha and Behind the Sash, visit behindthesashtv.com. Thank you for listening to the Notre Dame podcast. Join us next time for more stories, thought leadership, and research from the University of Notre Dame. And remember to check the description if you've been affected by any of the issues discussed in this programme.